From Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
What a weekend of racing it was, and only five more sleeps now till day one of the championship. And the weather forecast is pretty good when you think we're heading towards Royal Randwick. We've got some nice drying conditions Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, some rain on Thursday and some wind also up to 30 mil. There may be a sprinkle on Friday or Saturday, but we're hopeful that Mother Nature will play her part in the ATC staging what will be a spectacular couple of days of racing. We saw fantastic action right across the eastern seaboard and then also over to Dubai over the weekend. And Jeff Lloyd up there in Brisbane equaling Chris Munster's 103 winners. We saw a Stern for Godolphin taking to Newcastle for a gallop and now going into the TJ Smith first up. Brenton Abdallah suspended for his ride on Mo Queen. He got 5 weeks. Noel Callow fined $15,000, guilty of careless and reckless riding. Montoya's Secret in the Vinery in the Dubai World Cup over the weekend. If you haven't seen it, you've got to log on and have a really good look because this is one of the most stunning, beyond phenomenal victories you will ever see from the world's best horse, Arrogate, who now takes its prize money northwards of $22 million, winning the two richest races in the world, that being the Pegasus in that Dubai World Cup. And Joe Moreira, he's going to be riding in the Doncaster on Spectroscope. Good morning, Ronnie Duffersey.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Plenty to talk about. A big day on Saturday, obviously. We had another Rosehill Gardens meeting there, and obviously the upcoming meeting tomorrow, we're going to get the field out already on a Tuesday for four big group ones. So we'll be getting an early start on the form, which is always exciting for me because I like to get a head start.
Yeah, always. Well, head start's always good. And with your short little legs,
yes, for sure.
You need that head start. But the head start for you is good for us punters as well, Ronnie, because we always look forward to your comments. And then, speaking of a head start, Ronnie, we've got the barrier draw. That's going to be live on Sky Thoroughbred Central from 10:30 on Tuesday morning.
Yep, and we'll be all tuned into that, and I think they'll do the two big group ones there, and I think before 12 o'clock we'll have the TJ Smith and the sires out as well.
It's exciting, isn't it? The $3 million Doncaster coming up on the weekend, the $2.5 million TJ Smith. We've got the ATC Derby or the AJC Derby at $2 million plus so much more we look forward to, which is also the sires as well as the fourth of the group ones. Good morning, Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au.
Morning, TK. Good morning to Ronnie and this amazing situation here in Sydney at the moment that it's not raining. even though we're five, as TK said, five sleeps away from a major meeting at Randwick. But Mother Nature, they'll kick back in. Don't you worry about that. She realises it is Randwick.
So. Yeah, Glenn, I think we've only had two or maybe 3 days without some form of rain.
Yeah, I think I was there. 1883 was one of them, TK. I drove myself to the races in a horse-drawn cart.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of them.
But it feels like that. It does feel like that, I've got to say.
Yeah, I know I harp on about Randwick and the rain, but, you know, their luck is terrible.
Terrible?
Terrible.
Anyway, they look like they've got some here.
Yeah, and, you know, that forecast you said. So, in reality, we'll have nearly a week of no rain leading into that rain on Thursday. So,
yeah.
In an ideal situation, Neves would be watering anyway on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So, maybe, you know, say we get 5 or 10 mils, that's going to really give that track a kick along. And what you don't need is the rain Friday night and, of course, definitely on Saturday.
Yeah, we speak too many minutes, don't we, regarding track and weather and rain and the difference between the rain from the sky and the water that comes from the sprinklers and the irrigation system.
Okay.
I'm over it all.
It's affecting our horses.
Yeah,
I know Dino's going to come on, so I might as well trumpet Melbourne. But tell me the last time we had two Group 1 races in Sydney where Sydney horses never ran a place in either one of them.
Yeah, but the strange thing is, Glenn, on that, it's Victoria have had the dry weather. And it's their dry weather horses coming up here. Are you saying they've been able to get more work into them?
Well, you know, our horses have just slogged it out on wet tracks week in and week out.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a toll on them.
Yep, well, we're going to find out because we're getting to the two most important days. Good morning to you, Dean Lester from Melbourne.
Hello, TK. Good morning to you.
You'd be bathed in brilliant sunshine again this morning, I guess.
Yeah, T-shirt and shorts again.
Oh, that's not a pretty sight. I'm not too sure about that. mate, Friday night was pretty good, and a couple of good stories coming from this, particularly for Caitlin Mallion. She gets her first Group 1.
She did, as did trainer Andrew Noblet, who'd been around the mark for a long time and well and truly served an apprenticeship around the Group 1 level. But, for Caitlin, it was a big thrill on Silent Sedition, who I thought would be an interesting task coming back from 1,500 on the 13 days after that really tough run she had in the Coolmore Classic. But she certainly showed that form was good enough and got the money.
The other one, a good mate of ours, the North Queensland Cowboys coach and Paul Green, Dino. He actually owns Bassett, which he tipped us a few weeks ago on the program when it won the second of its last three. It's won straight, and Bassett came out and won the Hariba.
Yeah, well, he's certainly turned it around this time in Bassett. He ran a lot of good races last prep and didn't win, but he's converted them into three consecutive wins and ridden up on the speed, and it was a good day to be up on the pace at Mornington, as it always is when the rail's true, and he won the Hariba, one of the feature races at Mornington on Saturday.
It was tough. It was a really, really tough win, wasn't it?
It was, because the second horse, Prussian Vixen, who's a local, and she led and ran them along at a fast speed. She'd beaten Silent Sedition at her previous run, so she had very good form going into the race.
And now the Mornington Cup, mate. A couple of different storylines came out of this. Unfortunately, Gold Trail was all the rage, about that $2.20 mark. It was had a really torrid run, Dino, and then unfortunately after the post, had an incident, and Craig Williams has now been discharged from hospital, but he looks to be missing with concussion, and unfortunately Gold Trail had to be put down.
Yeah, it was extraordinary race for Godolphin, really, that they brought their trump horse all the way around the world to win the race and qualify for the Melbourne Cup. And whilst he had, as you said, a really hard run and then a terrible incident after the line, Tally just kept getting all the favours and back to a handicap, and he can have another go at the Caulfield Cup. He was unplaced in it last year when they went forward on him, but I like him when he's ridden back, and that's what that happened on Saturday.
What did you make of the Mornington Cup, Ronnie?
Look, it's a horrible incident. You know, when
terrible.
You get such a high-profile horse coming over here, and that happens, but that's what we all know. It's part of racing. Thought he'd give him a rough ride before that. Nothing really went right, but not really much to add. Tally, just as Dino said, got all the breaks on the day. Vengamask, some sort of form there. He ran well in the Caulfield Cup 1 year, and the race was all about the incident, really.
Yeah, unfortunately, wasn't it? But yeah, Godolphin's other runner winning in Tally. And Dean, and also Glenn Munsey, I'll go to you. Craig Williams, I guess concussion in the world of rugby league, Dino, is massive talking point currently. I guess it's maybe the same in AFL, but does the jockey go through the same process with concussion?
Yep, they've got the same
protocol.
Tests, or certainly I know the Victorian jockeys do. They have to go in and sit the cognitive tests.
Yep.
That they do at the start of each season, and then they have the comparison to make sure that they're right to go again.
So they've got their markers,
yep.
And then they get tested against those markers and so
exactly.
on and so forth.
And an automatic stand-down of a week.
Yes.
Yep. Isn't it funny? In the fight game, it's an automatic stand-down of 3 months. But anyway, it's a...
Yeah, but they might only have a fight every 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And plus, they get hit in the head. Mm. Where
repeatedly.
Repeatedly. Where hopefully, you know, we don't want our jockeys or our league or AFL or any other sorts of players getting constantly hit in the head. Jamaica, wow, what a beaut. Isn't she an absolute beaut? It was a very impressive victory, Duff, because Humidor came with that stunning performance out of the Australian Cup up here, but Jamaica just blew them all away.
Yeah, it was pretty to watch. She was just right in the zone at the top of a game there and off the Australian Cup where... I think we spoke about she had that little bit of a tough run when she not everything went right for her, but she just got into a beautiful rhythm behind the Squirty Spirit there, and once she took over, and I thought for one stride, gee, you might get a little tired chase, you know, rolling up behind this leader, and the back markers are coming, but then she just went into another gear, and look, I know she's won a Caulfield Cup and whatever, but that was one of her career best wins. There's no doubt about it. Humidor. he'll save for the spring. I think the a trip away now, and he seems to be a horse still learning what it's all about. He could.
I thought he was very good.
He might be a sneaky little Melbourne Cup horse or something. I don't know. Exospheric got very hot in the yard and battled on well. This Tavago unfortunately did a suspensory, or looks that way, and we may never even see him on the track again.
Tailed off. But obviously injury.
Very lame.
Yeah, that's bad news. What did you make of Jamaica and Humidor Dino? And then I'll get your opinion about, looks like you've got some frequent flyer points if you're one of the owners of Jamaica. It looks like probably not the Queen Elizabeth, maybe off to Hong Kong, maybe Royal Ascot, maybe the Ark.
Yeah, up in the air. I've spoken to them a lot over the last 6 months. I know a few of the owners quite well, and it's always been in the back of their mind. But I think, you know, we're living through the age of an immortal with Winks. If we weren't, she'd probably be on a higher pedestal, Jamaica. She's a Produce winner at 2, an Oaks winner at 3, Derby Place getter, and then a Caulfield Cup winner, and now a BMW winner. It's a very good CV she's put together.
Well, every year, which is an incredible thing, and isn't it? At every stage of her development, she's won at least a grand final.
The amazing thing about her is she has that hard run, usually third up at 2,000, and she springs off it and goes better at 24 her next run. Like,
incredible.
She chased Hartnell and the Turnbull, and everyone said, oh, that was a pretty hard run. Went to the Caulfield Cup and brained them, and then after that Australian Cup run where she was incredible, Saturday was a command performance.
Well, this is simple, really. I mean, I put this to Ronnie earlier on, but I'll get it for people who weren't listening. You got Jamaica Winks in the Queen Elizabeth. How far does Winks win by?
Oh, she wins by 5 or 6.
5 or 6, okay.
Yeah. She's
isn't it funny? Because that's, yeah, we're just...
She's just a different league again.
That's right. It was a wonderful, brilliant effort by Jamaica
and
on the weekend.
You couldn't imagine it, but it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you saw Hartnell win the Turnbull Stakes,
you couldn't imagine
he'd finish 8 lengths behind her in a Cox Plate.
and Hartnell ran out of its skin.
Yeah.
Glenn, what did you think?
Well, I think what you've got to sit back and look at Huey Bowman. Like, he just treated Lasquetti Spirit as though it wasn't there.
It was a scratching.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the old adage, you can't put, you know, old heads on young shoulders. Huey just said, I know what this horse can do. They can go and do whatever it likes, but I'm not going to be the one that's going to be the bunny to cart it up and give everything else the opportunity to run me down. I'll treat it as though I'm in front here and run the race to suit myself.
Yeah. And well, he still had to cart the field up.
Yeah, but he...
At his own temper.
At his own When he wanted to do anything, it was his decision.
Sure.
It wasn't being forced to him by what Lasquetti Spirit was.
He was helped by a horse that was just travelling in the zone.
She's a beautiful racehorse.
Yeah.
She just travels so sweetly.
There's more horse than jockey there.
Yeah. I know what she is. Tough.
Yep.
Yeah, and that you've got to be all that. But I don't blame Abdullah for trying to pinch a race on Lasquetti Spirit.
Oh, well, that's it. That's the one trick they've got up their sleeve.
Yeah.
It'll be better. It'll be more effective against her own age.
Yeah, of course it will.
And she'll be really fit for it, won't she?
Yeah.
You know,
that's been Lee Curtis's mantra all the way through.
Yeah.
I need to get a 2,400 metre run into her. I need to space her runs 2 weeks, 2 weeks, all aimed at the Oaks.
Yeah, well, he did that when he went to Kembla before the VRC Oaks.
Yeah.
So. Right, the other issue I want to get everyone's comment on, and I had my say earlier on, I'm actually fine in favour of the stewards here, but Noel Callow, fined $15,000, guilty of careless, reckless riding on Montoya's Secret in the Vinery, suspended for 1 month on top of that. They didn't muck around, but it was careless and it was reckless.
Was it reckless?
Well, I didn't think... I thought it was reckless.
I've got a real problem with the reckless element.
He actually stood up and I'm sure he said, I'll plead guilty to careless.
Yeah.
But no way in the world I'm putting my hand up for reckless.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's right.
No, but you know, when you're prepared to put your hand up for something.
Well, that's the lesser charge. Have you been to court?
Yeah,
they're always shoving the hand up for the lesser charge.
Sorry, TK, I don't live in the world that you live in.
No, I'll take
I'm
your
an upstanding
word for
citizen. Yeah, all I watch is Law and Order on the television.
I meant as a young cadet, you were shoved down there.
They didn't miss him though. Like
they didn't miss him.
It was $290,000.
It's cost him $500 to ride the horse.
It's cost him $500 to win.
Poor bugger.
Exactly. They took everything off him.
He's a good character too. I understand all that.
They could have left him somewhere for a cab back to the airport.
Surely
he had to get a Uber back.
The first one there was.
Sure, the incident of the horse... 200 was more severe.
Yes.
That was Regan Bayless.
Yeah.
I mean that affected three or four horses.
It was Regan Bayliss and Still Callow, I thought.
Well, did he get charged
for that? No, he got charged for when he went across
Fox Play.
And he came across Fox Play late. And his defence was, look, I've come out.
And as he was going across Fox Play, he did put the whip away. Like, he went back to hands and heels. It was a careless act.
He didn't know she was...
I reckon 2 weeks and a $5,000 fine. And I reckon that's about... I just think it's way
too
much.
Well, he gets to appeal, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
So he'll appeal and he might get you to fight the case for him then.
Oh, I've worded him up.
Yeah.
But isn't that they're, in a way, standard? They'll fine you the percentage basically straight off the
I guess so. They've got to have some criteria to work off.
The percentage. They've gone above.
It's a monkey over. Yeah, well, GST.
Yeah.
Oh, GST. Oh, and he got a riding fee too. He got $190 there, so can't blue.
It was a shame too because in the post-match interview, he actually mentioned he well and truly knew the fee that was going into the bank account, and so too did the stewards.
Yes. In saying that, it does look strong hoax form, that, doesn't it? It's they're all peaking at the right time.
If Nurse Kitchen gets soft ground, she'll be hard to beat.
I hope so.
I still think... Yeah, okay. Self-interest?
$41.
$41,
okay, yeah. Go the self-interest.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's a... It's a good race. They were all good trials, weren't they? Harlow Gold may have just hit the front a little bit too soon.
Harlow Gold would benefit from a dry track too.
Well, they
all go to the Oaks, don't they?
Yeah. Where do we fit the Kiwi in? Bonneville, it's equal favourite.
Well, she's pretty good. She might be another leak. Who knows?
You got a market there, Glenn?
Yeah, $6 each of two. Bonneville and also Nurch Kitchen. This is the ATC Australian Oaks. Harlow Gold and Montoya Secret, $8 each of two. So 1, 2, 3 from Saturday sit equally and just behind the Kiwi. Then you go to Devise, Fox Play and Lasquetti Spirit all at 11. Dawnwall, Louboutin, Zenalicious, 15. Well, she's going to face an uphill battle now, Zenalicious, to get to 2,400 after missing the run Saturday. Cassidy, High Impulse, Caravali, La Bella Diosa, start of the $26 line, but so is Lachat, Miss Rock, Nicoletta, Sebring Dream.
What horse is that?
Gala.
Obviously, smart as you think is not
Lachat.
In the race.
Oh, Lachat.
It's the cat in French, TK. Broaden your horizons.
Lachat.
Yes.
The cat. Okay.
Obviously, smart as you think is not nominated for the Oaks.
It was nominated originally and didn't pay up the first acceptance.
Okay.
Because it was in the markets originally and then after first acceptance was taken out.
Why would you name your horse after a cat? Honestly.
Move on.
I think you'll find...
These things amuse me, Dean.
I gathered that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, TK, because...
I know, which Stormcat, or I don't know.
No. It's Mother. It's Mother's name. Give it to me. Its Mother's name is Chinchilla.
Okay.
And Chinchilla, of course, is a breed of cat. It's the Godolphin. So would you like to complain to Suzanne Philcox, who names all these
ones? I don't like cats. Anyway... Le Romain is the favourite, $6 in the Doncaster Mile. I guess the big mover is Spectroscope into $11.
Yeah, he was he 26, I think, before Saturday. But Le Romain, the $6 favourite, how Racky and McCreary ate a pair. Happy Clapper, Red Kirk Warrior, Spectroscope, 11 each of three. Antonio Giuseppe, if you tuned into this show about a month ago, you could have had $201 about Antonio Giuseppe. Endless Drama, Hey Doc, and I'm a Star, along with Palantino, all 15, Ecuador, and it's somewhat head the rest at $26.
Okay.
But we'll know a whole lot more this time tomorrow morning when the field comes
out.
It's going to be a wide race, isn't it? Look, he's a hard horse to read, Spectroscope, 2 for 2, and lesser class, obviously, but he's got a turn of speed. Can he go bang, bang, bang? Or maybe he can. Happy Clapper looked back in form there the other day. Redkirk Warrior, I don't know what to do with him. It's a typical Doncaster Mile with no absolute standout.
Yeah. Dino, what do you think at this? I mean, it's early stages, mate.
Oh, well, I sort of, as Munns mentioned a few weeks ago, keen on Antonio Giuseppe that he go this path rather than the Sydney Cup. So
okay.
I'm hoping he's in the money.
Okay.
Another self-interest.
Yes.
Nothing like it.
What about Redkirk Warrior? This sort of everything David Hayes does currently turns to gold. I mean, this would be another bold. He broke a 100-year drought with Redkirk Warrior down the straight at Flemington last start. Can it make the jump up to the 1600, the tough mile at Randwick?
Well, he's won up to 2,000. He's a very good horse. I wouldn't say no.
What about I Am a Star? Look, she's just a little
beauty. She is a star.
She just needs dry ground. You saw her on wet ground back in the spring and she wasn't as effective. So if she gets dry ground, I wouldn't say no. It was an arrogant win last Friday night.
Was she flattered by getting on-pace favours?
Oh, absolutely, but she didn't have a hard run, which is probably ideal 8 days out from the Doncaster. I would have rather that probably than a real slogging run in the wet on Saturday.
See, that's the thing, the spectroscope. Was that a hard run, Ronnie?
No, it wasn't a hard run.
Got bumped around a bit, showed good courage.
He did.
Did Corey, by the way, on board.
Well, I thought the horse was just going that well. You can make your own runs happen when you're travelling that well. So, no, he's a really nice horse.
I'll tell you what, to get you in when you look at him, he's a fair to come oil painting.
No, he's nice, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
nice. Corey or?
No, not Corey. La horse, TK, not La jockey.
Yeah. Racer fatigue, that race, though, wasn't it? Like he burst through, but they were sort of marking time at that stage.
Yes.
When you look at the sectional times, they were well and truly, they'd hit their mark by about the 300-metre mark.
Okay. I want to come back to after the news and the sporting headlines because I want to have a good chat about the Game of Thrones, John Schnall, who just was dominant for Murray Baker.
Who?
John Snow.
English cricketer, wasn't
John Snow. I was going to say, what's he, a German now?
No, he's a cricketer. He was a cricketer.
It's not out of Illingworth, is it, or anything?
Remember
when Ray Illingworth pulled the English side off the Sydney cricket ground?
That was about John Snow, wasn't it?
Leant over the fence and grabbed John Snow by the shoulder.
Didn't he used to wear the Terry Towling hat?
John Snow?
Yeah.
Yeah, down at Fine Leg there in front of the Paddington end of the Sydney cricket ground. Leant over the fence, grabbed him on the shoulder, and Ray Illingworth said, righto, boys, we're out of here, come on.
Game of Thrones.
I remember it well. I was two.
Geminis, Game of Thrones.
I was 40.
Got nothing to do with cricket.
What?
9:30 news headlines that come out with Gemma Cutting, who had a very, very big day out there at Rosehill Gardens. Not as big as the week before and not as big as the next one's going to be at Randwick on day one of the championships.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272 or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
What's your take on Peter Moody working for Channel 7 on Saturday before race 4, saying big concerns on spectroscope from O'Shea on whether he can handle the heavy track not only once but twice, then the horse bolts in. He should not say things that put punters off. John, I totally disagree with you. I think John O'Shea, I know John O'Shea did have concerns regarding spectroscope on that heavy track. Peter Moody articulated those thoughts. And obviously the horse surprised everybody. I don't know. They're my thoughts.
Only report back what he's told.
That's exactly right.
He wasn't misleading you. He wasn't misleading you. He was just saying honest
concern. I think he also said it got beat on the wettest track it's been on, it got beat in France.
Yes, correct. I think John said it had one go on a heavy track in France and went badly. So...
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Pete, Tony, you get all the information. What you do with that information, everybody, is up to you. We're all grown ups.
Allegedly.
Amazing how many times you get into trouble for telling the truth.
Yes, that's right. Okay, let's get to the calls because we've got a whole stack, so we'll get through as many as we can. Hi, Sean.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
That's good. I just want to ask a question to Ronnie. I backed Fox Play E-Train on the weekend. Do you think Huey could have protested?
No, because he would have had to make a case that... Hughes got off and he said, I should have run third.
He was running third until he had to pull Fox Play up.
Yes, and I think if you were... Like the other horses, I would have thought had more momentum than him, and he would have had to say, well, I would have beat... I would have finished in front of the horse that was coming up inside me, going past me, but shaved me on the way through. I honestly don't think that he, although he may have had grounds, I don't think he would have had a hope in hell of getting that protest. Bowman's is such a professional person. If he would have thought he was going to win that race, he would have protested. Don't believe me.
There you go, Sean. There's your answer.
Right, and can I please ask a question to Dean?
Yep.
Yeah, Sean.
Are you able to tell me what's going on with our Mandan and when he'll be back?
Almandon, I don't think he won't race in the autumn. He was maybe going to have a run in the Blamey a couple of weeks ago and they decided against it, so I don't think you'll see him until the spring.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Sean. Dave, good morning.
G'day, 2K. How are you, Phil?
Good, thank you.
Nice and sunny in Parks today.
Ah, beautiful Parks.
Yes.
Get down to the Railway Hotel, mate.
I want you to put your steward's hat on, okay. Or in this case, maybe the chief editor's hat.
Yes.
And I'm talking about, I'm just doing a bit of funny, the Saturday tipping in the telly.
Oh, yes.
Ray Thomas got none.
Right.
Munsey got two.
Three.
Three? Very quick there, Gwen.
Mm. Two.
And
Simon Thomas got four.
Yeah, John Thomas.
Simon.
Simon Thomas got four.
Yeah.
Yeah. And John Davis got Jamaica as the only winner in the quaddy. Now, I'm just sort of asking you, if you were the chief editor, would you pull these guys in like...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd haul them, only if I back their tips. I'd haul them over the coals. In fact, they'd be looking for a new job.
You'd have to pull them in and say, what's going on?
What's going on?
And one for Ronnie Doversey, where did Be Like Dad come from?
I don't know. He come from a benchmark 71 Wednesday race to a Saturday 88. But he found him, that was a race I was saying all morning. There was a lot of horses just going nowhere in that race. And he probably trying, when we pull things out and try and make cases for these things that surprise you, he'd be only a wet tracker in the race. So maybe it would come down that he was the only wet tracker. He got himself on speed. He was tough. He was hard. He was fit. But I'd be very wary of following any form out of that race.
Good on you, Dave. We do thank you. We don't mind a couple of light-hearted shots. Well, I don't. Glenn's fine. He's a big boy. He's grown up. He can handle it. And just, I don't know whether I like this. Bullwinkle says, Game of Thrones. I'm listening to you legends on the throne right now. That's Bullwinkle.
There's Rocky there. Give him a hand.
Longshot King, good morning.
Hi, boys.
How are you?
TK, you said you don't like cats. You've got a long history of backing them.
that's why I don't like them, Longshot King.
Mate, the Lascetti Spirit,
yeah.
I just think it was an idiotic ride. Like, it worked in the Oaks, but you're really going to break the hearts of Exasperic and no. Jamaica and horses like this? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's her pattern, but I reckon the play would have been doing that in the Oaks again. But still, apparently, she must be a tough doing mare. So, look, Lee knows her well.
Just sit behind him and go around, Duff? Is that
no,
the other one?
No, lead, but not go for home at the 1,200 until grand final day.
But the Oaks was on a good three, not a heavy 10.
That's right. No, I agree. Hopefully it wasn't a flattening run, but
yeah, I hope
she thrives with it, apparently. They're all individuals, and if anyone knows that mare, it's the trainer.
Because that was one of the highlights of the carnival for me, the whole 4 days.
In Melbourne?
Yeah, in Melbourne. I didn't back her or anything like that. I just thought it was brilliant theatre. Okay, it didn't work on the weekend, but sitting behind him wouldn't have worked either. Or just jog-trotting in front.
No, well, that wouldn't have worked as far as winning.
No. No, so what was his only chance of winning, Duff?
Yeah, probably what he did.
Correct.
Could she win a weight for age, you know, BMW?
Well,
I would have highly doubted that. She could win an Oaks.
Pretty good horses, aren't they? You know, but I don't know. We'll take your thoughts, 1353 and 53.
She ran second to Winx over a mile.
Mm.
That was remarkable.
Why couldn't Winx run on a dirt track? She's by Street Cry, who was a champion American sire on dirt. She is Red Devil. Now, we're talking about, if you haven't seen Arrogate win the Dubai World Cup, make sure you get onto YouTube or whatever sort of device you can and have a look at it. Dino, I'm with Duff here. Dirt racing's not my go, but, geez, this is a win. I mean, Bob Baffett says it's the best horse he's seen. It's Secretariat-like. I think we've got to sit up and take notice.
It was so brave, wasn't it? I mean, he wouldn't have been able to see a thing, the horse. He just kept passing them and that, you know, mud splattered and just missed the start, totally out of contention, just kept surging. And that was a remarkable run. If you were to like dirt racing, that would be the race you'd watch.
Yeah, and that's right. And you think that they don't normally come from way back like that. Circle the field and go through the field and win. It was phenomenal, no doubt. Hello. Sorry, Duff.
I'm just seeing that New Bowman's picked up the ride, the favourite, as Andrew's reported, on Perfect Air. I'm just trying to think who's been riding Perfect
Jimmy
Air.
Byrne. He's decided to stay in ride in Brisbane on Saturday, okay. Not come to Sydney.
Wow. Means he must have some good stuff, good rides up there. There you go. Just back Jim Byrne in Brisbane on the weekend.
And Ty Anglin will ride Pellerin, who won the wild card yesterday. Green Buckley.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Cameron, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, boys. I'd just like to ask Ronnie, who would be riding Endless Drama in the Doncaster?
I'm sorry, which horse?
Endless Drama.
Emma's Drama.
Endless Drama.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I haven't heard. We'll try and find out for you.
Yep, thank you.
What weight has he got?
52.
Look, we'll try and find out for you by the end of the show.
No worries. Thanks for that.
Good on you, mate.
So for all our listeners who know many, many things.
Help.
I was about to say no all, but no, that would sound...
And TK, I've made a blue.
Hang on.
I only tipped two winners on Saturday, but I'm still getting over Astronomus and Dixie Blossom.
Okay, 9:43:34.
That's it.
On this Monday.
I'll put my hand up. That's why, TK, that's why they put rubbers on the end of pencils. Everyone makes a mistake.
Well, that's what your golf partners say. Yeah.
Have Dulla, I'm told. Have Dulla.
Brett too. Yeah, because Blake's in riding Happy Clapper.
That's right.
There you go. Happy Clapper is coming off that victory up in Newcastle and now going into the Donny. Cameron, we've had Cameron. Nathan joins us. Hi, Nathan.
G'day, TK. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate.
I just wanted to call up because I was hearing your discussion with Duff before and you're 100% spot on and Duff's misguided for a very rare occasion. 100% LaSweetie spirit. Couldn't have won any other way.
Take as much time as you like, Nathan.
She couldn't have won any other way. She's got no turn of foot to horse, but she's got an amazing ability to just keep going at the top at her top speed for a long time. And it'll work against the Oaks horses. Obviously, she had the top horses chasing her the other day, and they're a top group of stays, and there was absolutely no shame in running fifth. I don't think any other filly in the Oaks could have run fifth on Saturday. So
I think there's
a drama in the world with LaSweetie's preparation, and she will thrive on it. If you go back through her preparations, she just has gut buster after gut buster and just keeps improving with each run. She's a different type of filly, this one.
Okay, we'll cop that. I just think, how many times can she cope with a hard run like that on a heavy track? You know, but you've obviously got some form on her, and I'll trust you.
She stuck on well, Duff, didn't she? I mean,
look, once she got headed, she was entitled to throw it away. And she just... I was sitting there watching the run on, and she was fighting going as well as anything on the line. I agree with her that's the right tactics for her, but if that's the right tactics in a lead up to a grand final is the question I have in my head.
Well, we don't know, do we, till we we get to race day now, so someone's going to be right. Hopefully. Where's Nick Hall? Do you know? That's a text question.
Nick Hall's out indefinitely. He's got to have surgery on a hip. I don't know how strong the future for Nick is right in the riding ranks.
Okay. Yeah. Because of the injury, because of...
And he's got other interests. He's 30 in April, and he's sort of thinking, well, this will be his third hip operation.
Right.
And how much longer can I ride without it affecting me? So I think a new phase of his life might be starting.
Yeah, and if I remember his background right, obviously, he never really had any great interest in being a jockey to what?
17. He's done. He's fully educated. He's actually currently doing a health and science course at university.
Good stuff. Yeah.
That'll be the next phase. Whether he comes back to riding is up in the air, but that'll be the next phase of his life.
And tell you what he likes. He loves a tattoo.
Angel wings.
Ink Central.
It's like the Illustrated Man, isn't it?
Well, Jonathan Thurston's got the same.
What, the wings on the back?
Yeah, I'm sure he has.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know whether they're as elaborate as Nick's. He's got the full set.
It looks like a singlet, his.
He might be like the Yakuza, he's going to have them to a certain point.
Let's hope not, right? We don't...
Are you a fan of the ink, TK?
No. Please.
No, it's a rule in my house. Come in the front door with ink, I'll get it off with steel wool and battery acid.
Guys, can you ask Dean about Tosin's stardom in the Doncaster? Cheers, Shannon.
Oh, I would have thought he was a good chance off his first up run. I just don't know what happened at Flemington. Whether he was a bit flat second up, sitting outside the lead, mightn't have been his go. Damien Lane might be taking the ride now that Craig Williams can't ride him. He's certainly good enough but that last run worried me.
He came here, raced well, then he had a setback, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he just...
Or he lost form.
Yeah, well, we only saw him once in the spring, and he was enormous, and then he went up to Sydney and got injured and didn't race.
Yeah.
All but won the futurity first up, and then, yeah, the run and the blame, he wasn't the run of a Doncaster winner, but yeah, he's got the ability to run well. I just don't know what happened the other day.
Okay. A smacker. Ronnie, this one for you, mate. Hey, fellas, I backed Roaring to win last on Saturday and thought at worst I would get a dead heat. Surprised at the result, but of course I only saw the photo finish on TV. Did Duff see the official photo? Talking through my pocket again, but geez, I thought I was stiff not to get a better result. Smacker.
Yeah. Hey, look, he was beaten by a wart, but he was beaten. But it was a good run because he was probably the only horse to make up ground in that race, and he probably did it. Although they were probably just starting to chop the inside out after the inside being good all day, and he did come wider than most runners there. So his effort was good. He'd been a little bit out of sorts Roaring to win, but maybe just back on top of that softer track on Saturday, he turned his form around as well.
He charged home, no doubt. So maybe stay with it, Smacko. Let's hope we get a fair track on Saturday, boys. Mind you, it will be on April Fool's Day. Anything could happen, Dover. We are certainly hoping for a better track. Let's get to the open line, 13-53-53. Mick is there. Hi, Mick.
G'day, Terry. How's it going?
Well, thank you, mate.
Who do you think is going to replace Greg Miles?
Done deal, mate. It's a done deal.
Is it Terry Bailey?
No, it's Matt Hill.
Terry Bailey will call Friday nights.
Yeah. Is he coming back to racing?
Matt Hill?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's been in Melbourne.
Yeah, he went to the ABC, he was doing racing, he was doing AFL.
He's doing a lot of harness, yeah.
But Dino, is the quarterback going to go to Adelaide, and how's he going?
No, he's not right. He can, as far as I'm concerned, he can have about a three-month break and start again, but I'm only a small owner. Hopefully that's what happens.
And Duff, how's Hartwell going to go at Randwick in the wet?
Well, there's a horse called Winks in the race, so he'll run very well, but he's got his work cut out. And everyone's got their work cut out.
Thanks, boy. Good on you, Terry.
Well done. He's a happy customer. Now, Frolic is the $4.60 favourite in the English size. Minari, $8. I'm telling you, the interest for Tulip is $8. Glenn, the interest is really how these horses, after that heavy 10 bottomless track on Slipper Day, are sort of going to, whether they've recovered or not, to go forward to the Inglis.
Yeah, stepping up to the 1400 for the first time.
All that.
Behind Frolic, Minari and Tulip is Chauffeur and Summer Passage at $11 each of two. Astoria, Condor Heroes, Diamond Tathagatta, Gunnison, and it's going to that chairman sale at Inglis's Gunnison. Mm. Invader, Shoals, The Mission from Saturday, Trapeze Artist Trekking. The size is probably one of the hardest races to mark up every year because you start with 250 and a lot of times you finish with six.
Yeah.
Fresh blood can win it too.
That's what I'm saying. When you think, they're babies, they're on that bottomless track on Slipper Day, is there a fresh horse on the scene there, Ronnie, that could do some damage?
I don't know. I kept having a look at this horse that was scratched on Saturday, this Merchant Navy. Have you got any opinion of him? Do you know he's a 100-to-1 chance of something, but I don't know if he'd get a run or the...
Which horse said that?
A horse of Kieran Maher's called Merchant Navy.
$51 chance.
Yeah, he's a very nice horse. The horse that he beat ran really well down here on Saturday in the Mornington size, a Barrow. And, he's got a future, Merchant Navy. There's no doubt. He was very raw when he won at Pakenham. And the fact he scratched him and they're trying to get into the size is interesting.
Shiles was strong in that Group 3, Dino, last start. Got headed, looked like it was probably maybe going to get beaten, and then just kicked back and won strongly.
It did, yeah, absolutely.
It's a $15 chance there coming up for the size on the weekend. You're right, it's a race of mystery in so many ways, isn't it?
Well, you got the Kiwi Summer Passage, who Blake Shin won on that Ellerslie meeting that was transferred from the Saturday to the Thursday.
Right.
It's apparently coming over. And I think you'll find it was massive odds before it won in New Zealand. Well, typically you see the Kiwis and you put a line through them anyway. And, someone's listening. There's something on Merchant Navy. 50 each way Merchant Navy.
Beautiful.
In the English size. There's a dead set listener of Sky Sports Radio. Good on you, mate.
Hello, Peter. Good morning. Or John, sorry. We go to John. Hi, John.
Hi, Chico. How are you going?
Well, thanks, mate.
That's good. I just wanted to ask Dean, does he find it hard doing the form with the
the whip rule now. Like in Sydney, you know, like on the weekend, we had a couple of breaches, and the turnaround in form with Zanbar was, it was just hard to sort of read. What's his opinion on that?
Oh, I wouldn't have put that down to the whip rule. Zanbar, I just thought she drew a gate and she was down in grade and on wet ground.
But she got hit 10 times before the 100-metre mark?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I backed her, so yeah, if that helped me win, I'm happy.
What you're saying, John, do you factor in what lack of whip or too much whip into your form when you're doing
previous runs, is it?
Well, just in the bigger races, the jockeys don't seem too worried about, you know, flouting the rules, really. Like, I just find it a turnaround. Like, Dixie Blossoms beat Zanbar by 6.5 lengths. And I know she drew a better gate, but it was just hard to sort of turn that form around.
Hmm.
And, you know, Hugh Bowman got a fine. And Ben Malham, you know, he hit his horse 15 times, I think, before the 100-metre mark. So, you know, do you think the stewards would ever take a race off off somebody for doing that?
A couple of opportunities this week if they didn't do it then.
Yeah, so I don't know. They were
watching Ben because they'd warned him about his riding the Golden Slipper before he went out on the sign. So.
Exactly. I know he got a big fine, but you know, these big races are worth a lot of money to not only the jockeys but the owners. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I just find that, you know, the rule, I think, needs changing. Like, you know, it just seems like nothing rule to me. Like,
I agree. Well, and I think that's how it's enforced too, personally.
Yeah.
I think, John, I thought there was some sort of working committee, Duff or Dino, about having a look at the whip rule and, you know, changing it, you know, if it's 1,000 metre, 1,200, 1,400, 1,600, 2,000.
There was a group met in September and took submissions, wasn't it, from Racing Australia, September, October, around the Spring Carnival of last year. I don't know what's come of that.
Mm. Don't know. We'll get one more call.
Common sense rule will be one nice one to start.
Well, I bang on about this all the time, but I think the jockeys have self-regulated magnificently in the last 10 years.
So, plus, it's unlimited in the final 100 anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is, you know, I still try very, very difficult to get my head around that. You're only allowed to hit them, you know, a maximum of times before the 100. You can flog the tail off them for the last 100.
If you have a look at the Bone Bowman on Zanbar, he
put it away at about
that. He put it away very early.
Give it another one. Give it another
go
one.
Again, Huey.
Yeah.
Remember what happened to Olympic Academy and what happened to this?
Yeah. Well, the strange thing about it, as far as the industry is concerned to the outsider, is the only time they're watching the real race is at the finish, and that's when jockeys are now given the license to use it as often as they like, which doesn't seem to make sense to me when you're worried about the image of your code. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So Duff, we'll have to put that lunch date off. Chetwood's gone to the paddock.
Oh, jeez. Bad news there. Let's take one more call if we can. Hi, Peter.
Hey, g'day.
Hey, g'day.
Congratulations to John Thompson.
Yes. Yep. Back-to-back.
Back-to-back emancipation.
Well done. And he paid tribute to Guy Walter in his post-race speech, which was nice.
So have got Spectroscope at 200-1, but would prefer Corey
to be riding
Joe Moreira.
Yeah,
Joe's going to ride a half over on Spectroscope.
51.5, isn't he?
Yeah.
I bet you Corey wouldn't.
Oh, I don't know.
Can Corey get to 51?
Yeah, I think he can. He might have another ride. Mm. He could well have been locked in for another ride, I would say for sure.
Mm. All right. Good on you, Pete. You've got, Corey, Joe. They're okay. Not a bad couple to be choosing from, is it? Let's get your horses to follow if we possibly can. Ronnie?
The old self-interest, Nurse Kitchen. Nurse Kitchen.
Nurse videos. Kitchen. There you go. Was an enormous run on the weekend. Glenn, do you have one?
I just keep following our boys when they price up a sprint race, TK, because 2 weeks ago they put up $15 Russian Revolution. It ran $2.10.
Yeah.
And they put up $15 Jungle Edge. It ran $2.80. So watch out for the early markets on sprint races.
Well,
the boys know I'm not having a dig at them saying that. But it just goes to show you, who said we don't bet overs?
Yeah, well.
And who said you can't get value betting in an all-in
market? Well, you've just got to shop early, don't you, if you want. And take that sort of risk. Chautauqua $4.60. Glenn going forward to the TJ Smith talking about sprint races.
Yeah, and of course now changing those plans from a possible Donny run. But Astern worked at Newcastle on Saturday.
Yes.
With Ozark, who goes to Gosford on Thursday for the Guineas. It's second pick at six. Speaking of Russian Revolution, it and Spether on the next line at $8. English, Hellbent and Malaguira all at $11. Whether or not Hellbent comes here, I don't know. Fell Swoop, Star Turn and Voodoo Lad all at $15. Darren, Glenall, Rock Magic, Terra Vista, $26, and also Tavachi, who's definitely coming.
Okay.
So, do we camp out overnight like you used to do for the grand final just to get there Saturday?
I'll be good. Looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. And looks like Mother Nature hopefully is going to play her part and we're going to get some fine weather. Dean, have you got one to follow for us?
From Mornington, a horse called Miles of Krishan was really good first up. She'll be winning pretty soon. And is there a race over the Carnival Duff for Impending? Can he win something?
Yes, horrible tactics. There was a few horrible tactics there on Saturday. One was Impending and the other was the Dixie Blossoms, if you're on them.
Wasn't it a run?
It was just, you know, I looked at the map. I knew what was going to happen because John said in the morning I want to ride him a bit quieter. But when I was first doing the form, I just heard him slotting straight in behind Jungle Edge. But obviously they want to, you know, switch him off. I don't know, Dean. He looked well. He was third up. He was nearing his peak, but you'll never know because he wasn't given any chance.
We can probably build off it anyway.
Sure.
And Ronnie, the Doncaster, if you had to have $10 on something now.
Can you ask me about a different
race? I know it's... no, yeah. Well, I mean, if you find the winner, you're going to get a decent pay.
I'll say Happy Clapper.
Okay. You can change your mind 20 times.
I will.
Before.
I mightn't have him in the first four coming up.
That's right.
I'm serious. You know, like I just want to do some more investigation into Redkirk Warrior and get a feel for him. There's a few there, and it'll come down to the market for my selection.
Sure.
What I think is going to be value. Can't see value in the favourites at this stage.
No, and Dino, you're cheering for Antonio Giuseppe.
Yes, I am, but okay. I've got no knock on the favourite, La Romaine. I mean, he'll be the overlooked horse this week. He's having a great preparation.
He's flying.
Good on you, mate. Well done. Dino, always a pleasure. Ronnie, enjoyed it. Glenn, enjoyed it. Play well.
Yeah, hopefully so, TK.
There you go. That's Punters Post-Mortem for this Monday morning. Only five more sleeps before we go forward to day one of the championships and the four Group 1s, including the $3 million Doncaster, the $2.5 million TJ Smith, the $2 million Derby, and also the Sire's Produce worth a cool $1 million.